This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. It is VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross here at Circus Sports, fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio, as we get ready tomorrow to celebrate our nation's independence. Can't wait for the 4th of July, but we got the 3rd to get through first, Jensen, and we got a great show lined up today. Kate Constable is going to join us here in hour number 2 to see what we have in the WNBA. Mike Palm, get ready, Jensen, because you know when Mike is in studio, that means Palm's pressing 3. Our Circa VP of Operations is going to put Jensen under the test there in the microscope that we do each and every Thursday. Rachel Dorey is going to join us north of the border on, actually, I think she's on our side of the border these days, Jensen, here for hour number 3. We'll catch up with Rach and everything going on in the NHL and free agency. And Kevin Franson, it's going to be a lot of fun to have Kevin on the show. Of course, does a great job with the Nationals as a TV analyst there, talking some baseball with Kevin in hour number 3. But Jensen, we do have to begin the show as we do each and every day with our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
It got a little squirrely there for a while, but it got home, and Clayton Kershaw becomes the 20th member of the 3,000 strikeout club last night, getting that done against the White Sox at home. And again, he's only the 20th member of this club here. You got Vinny Capra looking to end the 6th inning. So, first of all, what'd you make of them pushing him out to 100 pitches here to get it done? Because you and I, think, thought that last night would be the night that this gets done.
Yeah, first and foremost, glad we gave people the lean on the called strike 3.
Yes.
Instead of the swinging. So a nice little plus 220, 225, depending on what your price was eventually for that. He's talking about 100 pitches. So just overall, I think there was probably something premeditated from Dave Roberts, Mark Pryor and company there of, you know, if we can, let's try and get it done here, because mm-hmm. you've got 50,000 strong at Chavez Ravine. You got his entire family there, dignitaries, so on and so forth. So absolutely, they were going to give him every opportunity to get it done. Just food for thought here, David, you asked where he kind of ranks. He has thrown the fewest career innings
wow.
of any member of the 3,000 strikeout club. He has the highest winning percentage of those 20 pitchers at almost 700. He's at 697. For you analytics geeks out there, the best ERA plus at 155. Average game score of 61.9. That people don't really care about that in the mainstream. But more importantly, quality start percentage.
Yeah.
He's tied for second with the great Bob Gibson at 68%. So think about that. Almost every 7 out of 10 starts that he took the mound thus far in his quest for 3,000 strikeouts, it has been a quality start. It's pretty remarkable consistency for a guy who will go down as one of the greatest to ever do it, especially in the modern era.
Remember, they were over a $3 betting favorite yesterday against the White Sox. Boy, did you have to sweat that out. 4-2 in the ninth. They rallied for 3 in the bottom half of the ninth to get it done and walk it off 5-4. I'm glad you brought up those numbers by Kershaw, because I think for, I don't want to say, you know, this generation, but I do feel like there's, I don't want to say a stigma with Kershaw because of the lack of postseason success, but I think we forget just how dominant he really was, that when you put it in that context as basically the quickest to get it done here at 3,000 strikeouts, and really how elite his whole career has been. So look, everybody's going to get older in this game. We get that. But to have the longevity to do that and still get it done here in a 5-4 win again, maybe not Kershaw's best outing overall, but still be able to go out there and give you 100 pitches and get that done in the 6th inning shows that they're counting on Kershaw a little bit right now with the banged up staff. Because remember, coming into the year, we kind of thought Kershaw would be a luxury. Now it almost feels like, Jensen, dare I say, he's a necessity.
Not only that, Dave, but he's all of a sudden a guy that means way more from where you look at this offseason, of which there was a chance he wasn't even going to be part of the LA Dodgers. I mean, there have been, you know, some thoughts about if he finishes his career with the Texas Rangers, since that's where his hometown is.
And right.
I think overall, too, that was probably a theme that he had to wrestle with was, A, yeah, I know what I mean to the organization in LA, but do they even have a spot for me? Like, there was a realistic conversation of, can I even crack this group? Think about this. Now, the fourth left-hander also in Major League history to achieve 3,000 or more strikeouts. Of course, Randy Johnson, the one that we remember most, Steve Carlton, and my old teammate, CC Sabathia. And when you start to mention some of the names that are involved here, the biggest question comes up, and we can ask Kevin Franson in the 9 o'clock Eastern hour. He does have two of those 3,000 strikeouts, by the way, against CK. But it's a realistic question. Have we seen the final pitcher that will achieve 3,000 strikeouts? And much can be made, Dave, in our day and age, that starters are not allowed to go as long as they have in years past, but even as recent as my era. So it is a remarkable achievement, and one that this could be it, man. In our lifetimes, we may have seen the final member of the 3,000 strikeout club.
And I hope everybody appreciates what they've seen with Kershaw, because, again, I'm glad you mentioned some of those other names too, like Randy Johnson, Steve Carlton, from when I was a kid. Like, those guys, there is no stigma there. There should not be one with Clayton Kershaw, maybe because he hasn't had the overwhelming success you want to see, but they're all World Series champions here, and Clayton's got a ring as well. So he's done everything you can possibly do in the baseball diamond from a pitching perspective. Maybe the Lakers feel like they got what they needed in DeAndre Ayton. He's going to get a 2-year deal, very small deal here, $16.6 million. Former number one overall pick, of course, those days feel like a long time ago. So some issues, I'd say, in Portland. Remember, there was one game he didn't show up to the game because there were icy roads in his neighborhood. Remember all that stuff? So kind of a bizarre career for DeAndre, the former number one pick. But look, if he can turn back the clock, if he can be a useful center for them, what do you make of the move for the Lakers?
Yeah, just from an odds perspective, right, plus 850 now the Lakers are to win the West. They trail Minnesota, Denver, Houston, and the champions, the Oklahoma City Thunder. I don't know if I would want any piece right now of a 14-1 as far as their NBA title odds are. It almost feels, Dave, depending on what other dominoes fall, and LeBron James was here in Northeast Ohio, hacking away at the grounds in Akron on the golf course. So there could be that thought of, if you do like the Lakers, whatever iteration they ultimately come up with for their final roster, do you wait to see kind of what the onboarding process is? Because I think you and I could probably anticipate that number drifts a bit, maybe into the 20s if they get off to a rough start. Mm-hmm. And I think I'd rather kind of look then at, all right, if they get in and they figure it out late, then I'd rather have a much larger number to be able to monetize.
Yeah, you see right now for the odds board here, if you're watching at VSiN.com or on the VSiN Watch app, +$1.55 for the Thunder to repeat in the West, just to come out of the West. You see the Lakers there down at 850. That's the last of the single digits before you get to the Warriors at 12-1, the Clips at 18-1, Mavs at 20, and beyond. I'd say this, like, if you remember DeAndre, obviously, in Phoenix, and, you know, when they had Chris Paul, and they kind of, it almost felt like they beat up on him a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, the old veterans would kind of beat up on the, you know, he's not that young either. It was 2018 where he was a first round pick. So it's been a minute here. So I kind of look at it, Jensen, and I go, has he earned the stripes to be with LeBron and to be kind of on the same, not the same level I'm talking about for a career, obviously, but like, is he going to command some of that respect as a former number one pick? Luka obviously came out in that same draft. Those are 1-3 in that draft when they came out. To be with LeBron, that we can have kind of those open forms of communication. And I always felt like in Phoenix, they were almost picking on him. Like, we need you to be better. Like, I remember that from Chris Paul. Like, we need you to be that number one pick. Are they still going to be goading DeAndre Ayton to be better? Or is he just a piece and not really looked at to be a key cog in the machine?
Yeah, it is a a real big consideration too, because I don't think there's going to be, at least in LeBron's case, if he does stay, I don't think there's going to be a feeling of, hey, we'll give you some time to get used to things here. Like, it's no, let's go.
No,
dude.
We got to go.
Be ready to go from day one. Yep. He doesn't strike me as the motivated type. And as I said, the most overpaid league of the big four is the NBA, with the role players and some of the starters. So, hey, it remains to be seen. Maybe they'll prove us wrong, but I don't have high expectations for DeAndre Ayton.
And that's the thing, right? I think you kind of hit on it there. It almost feels like you got to prod him a little bit. You got to get the big guy going. And so if that's what you're still waiting on in 2025, Like, maybe it works. We'll find out. Maybe if it clicks all this, but you're right. I mean, how much sand in the hourglass does LeBron have left? He's not going to be patient to let DeAndre fit into the system. They're looking for some of these cheaper parts now with Luka and LeBron. I wonder if this is now it for what the Lakers can be, what they're going to look like. But I'm with you. There's no way I'm buying in at plus 850 to win the West because of a DeAndre Ayton move. It would be something to look at down the road. Like, if you had to go down the odds board there, I know we've talked a little bit about it with Zach Cohen. Do the Mavs intrigue you at all at 20-1 at a much longer price point? Again, we have to figure out what Cooper Flagg is going to look like. But if AD is healthy, if Kyrie comes back healthy, and I look that and I juxtapose that against Luka, LeBron, and DeAndre Ayton, I'd rather have the longer number at 20-1 than the short one at plus 850.
I would even take the Spurs, too. I don't think the Spurs are done yet. And another step forward by Wemby and that backcourt with De'Aaron Fox and Stephon Castle. Like, I just think there's way more. Do the Spurs feel like the Timberwolves of last year, where they're kind of lower in that seed range, but that's not indicative of the talent and the pedigree that eventually we could see come to the forefront? So yeah, I'm absolutely on with you with the Mavs at 20-1. If nothing else, a lot of our strategy that we impart to people, have that in your portfolio for nothing more than an opportunity to monetize if they win a playoff series and then see eventually, like we saw this year, Dave, right? The injury bug really affected everything. So having that in pocket and then the option, just that option, if you want to monetize with a hedge.
It's almost football season, people. And when we come back, Jensen, let's get into what we think some of these records will be for some of the big boys in the NFL. At least, you know, I think we think the Ravens are going to be a big boy this year. So we'll talk about the Ravens, some other teams here. What might their record look like after 5 weeks? And there are price points associated with it. That is next here on VSiN by the Books. Our NFL betting guide is out for VSiN Pro subscribers, and it's just chock full of so much good information, Jensen. It's almost like if you're just, you know, you're laying around, it's the afternoon, you just want to peruse what other people think of the network. There's some really actionable spots out there. Do you like to get into some of these alternate markets where, you know, teams, their records after the first five? Some people don't like to bet, let's say, the full season. They're like, man, I want something a little bit quicker. Let me split this up. I think this team might be really good, but I'm worried about injuries long term. Maybe I can get in on the short term. Do you ever get into these, you know, records after first five markets?
I mean, I probably will this year, just knowing where some of the chaos could happen. I think what's hard, Dave, about this particular one in and itself is you have to get it exactly right. Yeah. So it's not just an over under total. Now, all that being said, the strategy in my mind would be to err more on the side of chaos, things that would be unexpected just because of where the higher odds payouts would be. Yeah. So I mean, if you think that, you know, and we'll talk, you know, a few of these teams coming up, but if you think a team, you know, comes out of the chute really quickly, then just roll the money lines, right? You're probably going to get, you know, a better payout. And then conversely, right, fading teams that we think, okay, just by the schedule alone, we have a very, very difficult time getting off the mat.
Yeah, they're very interesting markets because they are different handicaps that I know that I would do for a full season or something in that ilk. So let's take a look at the Ravens. And, you know, the Ravens have been oh so close. It is kind of amazing to have a two-time league MVP already in Lamar Jackson. Should have been three-time league MVP. And you haven't been to a Super Bowl. And, you know, you've had opportunities a couple years ago. You're hosting the AFC title game. We all saw what happened there. And you can go back to the Isaiah Likely, you know, big toe on the end line last year to begin the year. And how much those games could certainly change your fortunes when it comes to January and hopefully for the Ravens and really good teams even beyond. So I wonder, last year, of course, it ended in Buffalo. In the postseason for Baltimore. Now you open up the season week one Sunday Night Football in Buffalo. Boy, the NFL loves to do that, right? Let's just put you right back to that nightmarish end and let's see if you can get over that. So Jensen, for their record, after the first 5 weeks, I don't think anybody sees them going 0-5, which would be 22-1. That'd be losses against Buffalo, Cleveland, Detroit, Kansas City, and Houston. But how would you break down this? Do you think it is a lock for three, more towards the four side? How do you look at the Ravens and what we think the start is going to look like?
Yeah, so this market in particular, as I said, I'll underline it. This is a chaos market for me. So the one win at plus 750 is what I would get. And here's why. Okay, the tough schedule notwithstanding, right? You go to Buffalo, tough place to win first week out of the chute. We always know week two is overreaction week, right? And Baltimore, for whatever reason,
yes,
will play down to their competition early in the year. And the Browns have just been a thorn when they are least expected to do that. Not saying that could be the one win. That could be the one win, okay? Home against Detroit, you and I feel that the Lions will come out with something to prove because everyone is going to doubt them with what's happened. You got to go to Kansas City. Hey, never know. And so thinking of it this way, if you have that one win, and let's say they're 1-3 headed into Houston, you already have a guaranteed profit scenario there. When you have the plus 750 ticket, you can, you know, play the Ravens money line, however you want to do it, the Texans, if you have that one win in pocket. But I this is a chaos market for me. And I'm sorry, that's a really tough schedule to start the year. So I don't really have an interest in the three wins exactly. And that would be my overarching point to people out there, Dave, is it's not an over under market. Like, you have to nail it exactly.
Yeah.
So I would go more for what is least expected from a commonplace standpoint, meaning like, you know, that market tells you, okay, they should get three wins of their first five. But I think the one win makes much more sense, bang for your buck, if that tough start ends up surfacing, specifically with having to nail the exact win total.
Because we all remember the end of the year, right? We remember what it looked like at the end. It looked great for Baltimore, running down the Steelers down the stretch, winning the division, right? And then losing in a great matchup there against Buffalo in the postseason. We do forget that after the Isaiah Likely toe game, they went back home and lost to the Raiders. At home in Charm City, they were 0-2. So you hop in here. Oh, they're a lock for three wins to begin the year. They always start off slowly. They always have one of those games you're talking about. 2 years ago was Gardner Minshew and the Indianapolis Colts that came into Charm City early in the year and beat them. Right. So I'm with you, man. I would be very leery about locking this team in for three or four wins at the beginning of the year. They seem to get on the good footing late. And remember, Detroit went there last year and beat them up pretty good, too. So I'm with you, man. That if anything, three wins would be – I think if you gave them truth serum, three wins, they'd take that right down and run to week six.
Very happy with that. No doubt about it. And just understanding, too, where those potential tiebreaker scenarios would be with the head-to-heads against Buffalo and Kansas City for playoff positioning purposes. You know, all of a sudden, you know, the first 5 weeks means so much more when you get into late December and early January.
I hope Dana Higgins isn't listening to us. We still think the Ravens are going to be a very good team, okay?
They're going to be good.
They're going to be very good.
I picked them to get to the Super Bowl.
We're just saying, you don't need to be 5-0 out of the gate. That's not what we're looking at here. It might take them a while to get going. Patriots, they've got high expectations this year. We understand that. And obviously Mike Vrabel taking over. Now it feels like now they're going, all right, we're back to the Belichickian ways. I don't know if they can get all the way back there in the winning, but I think that's what they're looking at Vrabel to be, something like Belichick light. So after the first five, which opens up against the Raiders at home, solid favorites there. At Miami, I think you and I have talked about Miami. Maybe the expectation is much lower. Then you're going to host the Steelers. That's going to be interesting in Aaron Rodgers. And then you're going to host Carolina before that big week five game at Buffalo. I think on first blush, people might go three wins plus 215. But is there any danger in just assuming that we all believe that the Patriots have already arrived before we actually see it?
100%. And I'll underline your thought process with, I think this is a highly public team this year as far as the betting markets go. Buddy, I'll throw it out there. I don't know if they win one game.
Oh!
14-1. 14, again, this is a chaos market. Let me highlight that for people as we talk through this, because you have to nail the exact amount of wins. So I would rather, as we've always talked about, harder to win games than it is to lose games. So if they don't get the home opener against Vegas, we have seen how many times you're going to go down to a million degrees in humidity in Miami. It's a division game. I want no part of that group in their first road game at Overreaction Week. I would have to believe the Pittsburgh defense can do enough to limit Drake May in week three. Carolina's your wild card there at home, okay? But if you go to 0-4 there, I will hold my hands up and be like, hey, congratulations if you go into Buffalo and you win. But I would rather have that 14-1 in pocket or kind of see where that money line rollover price would be to fade them and just see which one is better.
If they were 0-4 and they were going to Buffalo week five, if they were 0-4, that's going to be a double-digit spread. And then you could come back, take the 10 points, Patriots 11 points, whatever it is, and look at that middle. Oh, what a sexy middle that would be. Oh, I love that exercise. But again, and I think people listening go, oh, my God, come on, Jensen, they're not going to be 0-5. Well, again, part of this is price points that we're talking about and where we'd rather be sitting in you're looking at potentially, do you want to bet it at one win? You could at plus 390 to get one out of that five. That could be plausible. But 14-1 for an agent of chaos, we could see that. The Giants. I don't know if people look at the Giants and think they're going to really get off on the good foot. You and I have talked a lot about week one against DC and the Commanders. That number's come down. Somebody's been listening to us here in the last couple months when these numbers came out. Then it's that week two at Dallas. You're going to host Kansas City, host the Chargers, and then you've got at New Orleans. And at New Orleans might be where you get that first one, Jensen, plus 230 to get one win. But to not win any is plus 650. Is that too short in your estimation?
Not at all. The zero wins at plus 650 is exactly where I would target as well. And I think if they don't get Washington in week one, I do love the points there. And if you can still find the seven, go get it now, because I think that comes down even further. But I don't think they're winning in Dallas. I don't think they're beating Kansas City. I think Justin Herbert and company are primed for a big, big breakout this year. And another big step forward. And then you have your hedge possibility there if they are 0-4 headed in on the road. Again, we joke, like, would you make New Orleans? I mean, is that a pick 'em? Depending on what the Saints look like. Are the Saints a short home favorite? Like, either way, it makes more sense, again, in this market where you have to nail the exact wins, the plus 650 or fading with rolling the money lines over against the Giants, whatever one has a higher payout for you, that would be what I would implore people to do.
If you have the plus 650 in pocket, Brian Daboll might not be the coach for week five. I mean, there would be
true.
A possible. If they were 0-4 at that point, it's going to be chaos up there in New York. Again, our guide is out, everybody. We are really excited about it. It is it's pretty darn interesting to comb through it and see all the nuggets you can pick up. So it's $175 right now, and that's going to cover you all the way through the Super Bowl, people, February of 2026. Okay, so sign up now, VSiN.com/subscribe. Again, previewing each and every football team out there, 32 in total. Best bets from all of our hosts, player props, and projections. So check it out when you go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Talking some baseball next with our Daily Diamond.
To VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We will have Kate Constable join us to begin our number two, talk all things WNBA. I know you've got some plays already in pocket here, Jensen, before we get to Kate here at the beginning of hour number two. But we watched baseball last night. We saw some chaos north of the border there with, what was a 7-0 lead? And it's like, all right, Toronto, this thing is done. And then all of a sudden you look up, it's 9-7 Toronto, and you got a man on, and some guy named Aaron Judge is coming to the plate. Jensen, were you surprised? Because we've seen that the Jays going to walk him at certain points, even putting, you know, the go-ahead or tying runs on base. And I know that's, you know, baseball taboo. You're not supposed to do that sort of thing. You pitch to Judge, he hits the bomb, and next thing you know, it's 9-9. They come back and get the 11-9 win. Were you surprised by that decision to challenge Judge in a spot like that?
Yeah, I'm more surprised that, you know, Jose Barrios is just rolling and then, I mean, just gets sideswiped so quickly that they really didn't know what hit him, man. This is a remarkable job of the Yankees just getting back into the fight, let alone coming level with Judge's blast there in the eighth. And then a big walk-off win. So now Toronto dead even with the Yankees atop the American League East. And I know I said, Toronto was upwards of 400-1 for the best overall regular season record. They're just 6.5 back of the Dodgers. I mean, could you imagine having that sweat right now?
Oh my God. I mean, you would be in the fight, as we like to say, you would hope at least it's going to be a sweat for the summer months here. So they've already put themselves in position now. Tiny. Like, we did this a couple weeks ago where we felt like maybe all six divisions, you know, looked like the Yankees were in those we weren't thinking about. Here they are now already in a dead heat as we turn the page into July. Things getting very interesting there in the AL East. So without further ado, let's get to it. Today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Jensen, I love a good throwback. Who doesn't love a good throwback? Give me one today to kick off the Daily Diamond.
All right, so it's always fun just going through some of the stats in baseball and days of the week, right? We've had, you know, guys that in certain months just find a way to have a power surge, or day game guys that love to be able to hit in the early afternoons. Well, the Throwback Thursday theme, say that five times fast, is basically just for guys that have done really well on Thursdays. And the throwback is a guy at the bottom in Gleyber Torres. Congratulations. Voted in as an all-star starter there for the Detroit Tigers, amongst a few other surprises there, both in the American League, National League. Shohei Ohtani, anytime it's Thursday, apparently he goes yard. How about five of his nine hits on Thursdays this year, Dave, have gone as a round tripper. And then Luis Garcia Jr., 405, five doubles, seven ribbies. Again, maybe a little off the beaten path for most mainstream fans here. Ohtani, two or more total bases. By the way, shout out Gunnar Henderson. You go and just look absolutely ridiculous for your first three at-bats and completely redeem yourself by getting the double to help us get our player prop parlays across for the Bobby Witt Jr., Gunnar Henderson hit and total bases parlay. So congratulations. Thank you very much. Let's go Ohtani, two or more total bases. I believe, Dave, that's at $1.25 right now. And then they've yet to post some of the other Nats hitters here on DraftKings. But we'll go Luis Garcia Jr. and Gleyber Torres to record a hit parlay as well.
And that's why sometimes when you have those props like you had yesterday with Gunnar, and you already got Bobby Witt and you're just waiting, you're like, just turn the lineup over. Like, give me another at-bat. Like, every,
just get back.
Right? Every AB matters at the bottom of the orders to turn them over for later on. Like, let's get Gunnar one more shot. Bam. It comes through. That's why we got to play all nine sometimes. Fantastic call by you. What about maybe some players that you've identified that maybe below the hard decks? I thought below the hard decks doesn't count.
Well, in this one, it's just flying just a bit under the radar. yeah, I agree. Well done on the Top Gun reference. The Yankees yesterday with that comeback ultimately don't get it across the line, but maybe the elixir is a guy in Clark Schmidt who on the road, at least his last four starts, have been pretty solid. So three runs or fewer in four consecutive games away from the Bronx and has given his team a great chance to win. How about the Giants overall, Dave? I found this a fascinating statistic. 13-4 in games started by Robbie Ray, including 6-2 on the road. Giants winning over the Diamondbacks yesterday as well. They'll be back in the desert today. The road losses, both road losses in those Robbie Ray starts.
Whoa.
To the Marlins and White Sox, and both of those games were 1-0 losses. I mean, it just crazy to wrap your head around some of these things. So let's go Clark Schmidt to continue his road ways. Under 2.5 earned runs. You got to pay a little bit here at minus $1.60. And then once we get that price for Robbie Ray to record a win, we'll put that on for VSiN Pro subscribers. So again, you just kind of stay out of the way of some of these big time trends that now you have over half a season in pocket. But it just feels like some teams get up really well. And so far the Giants have for Robbie Ray all year long.
Let me ask you, because again, for Met fans, you know, we suffered through it a little bit with Jacob DeGrom. Where, and I'm not saying that Robbie Ray is on the Jacob DeGrom level back when Jacob pre-injury, but it felt like we're not scoring runs for him, right? It's going to be 1-0. DeGrom knows he's got to be perfect because they're just not getting any run support on days when he pitches. Is that something you can feel, Jensen, in the clubhouse? They're like, man, like we got to get Robbie some runs, man. Why don't we score runs when Robbie pitches, right? Like these 1-0 defeats that you're talking about. Is that a real tangible thing or is that just something we talk about?
No, I mean, when your ace is on the hill, there's a lot of time. We saw this a lot with Corey Kluber here in Cleveland where we joked like yeah, he needs to retain some representation to sue for run support because he just never got it. But there is a tangible kind of you know when your ace is on the mound and you come in like, oh, okay, like even for us bullpen guys, you're like, well, some of us aren't getting in a game today. We don't have to worry about it. And that is a real thing that happens. Yeah. So now on the flip side, Dave, there's some of us that went to bed early on nights that certain starting pitchers were on the docket for the next day. Cause you're like, better get your rest, boys. That phone could be ringing early. So at both sides of the spectrum, no question about it.
That is hysterical. All right. What do you have to round it out today? And I guess for a marriage, sometimes you got to get those announcements and you got to save those dates.
We'll save the date for today. And again, back to our Thursday theme here. Some of the leaders as we reach and surpass the halfway point of the Major League calendar. So as a team, your highest scoring offense on a Thursday, no shock here, the Detroit Tigers, 68 runs scored. Your New York Metropolitans, for whatever reason, Thursday is not a day for them.
No.
At least offensively, 21 runs scored. That is the second fewest in Major League Baseball. The Padres, surprisingly.
Wow.
Have one fewer run than they do at 20. The Yankees, they have not lost on a Thursday. 7-0 on the money line. Best in Major League Baseball. And the Angels, who play today, second worst ERA as a team on a Thursday, second only to the Sacramento Athletics of Las Vegas. So let's go. We like offense, right? We like seeing some scoring. Let's take the Tigers team total over 5.5, which is plus $1.05 right now. And we'll also back the Braves, who got out in a big way yesterday, over 4.5 runs scored at minus $1.20.
And the Yanks, by the way, that 7-0 on Thursdays, they're going to be still north of the border there against Chris Bassett and Clark Schmidt on the bump there. Yankees small favorites at $1.31. Yeah, that's always a weird thing for me. Like, why can't the Mets score on Thursday? But we know this. I mean, thankfully, they got the split late against the Miz in Milwaukee in game two. But Jensen, this feels like a hangover effect going on with the Mets. And if they, you know, traditionally now, at least so far this year, they're not scoring runs on a Thursday, they better get some help here for David Peterson against Q, Jose Quintana, and the Brew Crew. Again, we talk about these weird anomalies. I know they're probably not thinking about the fact they've only scored 21 runs, but my bigger concern is what's going on with the Mets. Like, again, thank goodness they got that split in the double dip, because my group text was going off after they gave up the slam in game one, and you lose to the Brewers there to begin it. I'm starting to really worry that, boy, is it the pitching? Is it the offense? Is it the combination? What's not clicking all of a sudden in Queens?
It probably is just one of those points in the season, too, David.
I think
we kind of illustrated it. Yeah, where you've got it right now, if you will, it's everyone outside of Nimmo, I think, is basically in a rut. And, you know, that even goes for Soto and Pete Alonso. I mean, Pete, they're starting to kind of come out of it a little bit.
Yeah.
But basically, I mean, the bottom of the lineup has been really bad. Lindor has been okay. But yeah, usually when everyone's going bad, this is what happens, and that's kind of the case right now.
Yeah, you need somebody else to break out and help out Nimmo a little bit right now.
Need the All-Star break.
Right?
Need a little reset.
We are limping to said All-Star break, that is for sure. ProfitX, they're not, though. They're always offering the best odds all baseball season long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40 or more states. First of its kind in the United States. You're going to be able to make those sports picks against other groups of fans rather than just against the sports books. That's going to guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today. Use the code VSIN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your very first month. Jensen, it's a Thursday. You know what that means. PGA Tour is back in business, baby. We wonder if the Trophy House, we talked about it a little bit yesterday in the program, some bettable angles with the Trophy House that we'll get to before they begin the John Deere Classic, and some other numbers and some names that we've got in pocket. That is next when you come back with us right here on VSiN by the Books. Sin by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here on a Thursday. We got another tour event getting ready to tee off literally almost simultaneously right now with us discussing the John Deere Classic. And Jensen, very quickly, and you know, you and I had a lot of fun talking about this yesterday breaking it down, the trophy house, when you get to some of those numbers, it doesn't feel like there's any Ryder Cup implications this week, per se. I mean, maybe if Ben Griffin and or Denny McCarthy were able to win this event, maybe that changes Keegan Bradley's strategy. Right now, he's still the captain for the Ryder Cup here coming up in September. And I said this in passing to Gil Alexander yesterday before a numbers game after us. And, you know, I was still talking a little Ryder Cup with him. And I was just kind of poking the bear of, like, if there's ever a weekend that could make some infiltration into the American sporting landscape in September when it's all college and NFL football, like, should they move the Ryder Cup? Like, should they move it? Should they have it end on Friday instead of ending on Sunday? It's a glorious 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I get it. That's how you have to do it. But, Jensen, do you think they'll ever think about, maybe we should set this up during the week so we're not going head-to-head against college and the NFL?
In a Lewis Ross administration, it would be one of those standalone events.
Yeah.
Yes, it is possible. I know there is larger fish to fry from a calendar and betting perspective at the moment. This is the beauty of kind of what we do, right? If you have the ability to have some skin in the game, there is a vested interest.
Yeah.
And the way that you and I go all the way back to Four Nations. Four Nations is an exhibition tournament.
Yet great example.
The hype and the buy-in from the actual athletes then parabolically raises that intrigue and interest from the fan bases. So, yeah, oh, by the way, you can bet on it? Absolutely. Let me have a little bit more interest in this. So, yeah, it absolutely will be there for sure.
$1.45 right now for Team USA, to get the cup back from the evil European squad. They, of course, took it away from us 2 years ago over there in Italy. Absolutely trounced us a couple years ago over there. So we'll see if we can get some revenge here stateside of Bethpage Black. Now, this tournament this week, we talked about the Trophy House yesterday, and I believe you did actually make a parlay. You were able to make a parlay on the guy staying in the house. Now, for those of you that are not up on the story, the last three winners of the John Deere Classic have all stayed in now what they're calling the quote-unquote trophy house. So that would be Sepp Straka is not playing this year. He won it 2 years ago. JT Poston won it 3 years ago. Davis Thompson won it last year. Poston and Davis are both staying back in the same house. Denny McCarthy never has won on the PGA Tour, staying in the house. And now Chris Kirk, who came oh so close in that playoff last week to winning, is -250. Grayson Sig, Ben Coles, and Patton Kizzire are also going to be staying in said house. So is this your parlay that you have for all seven of these guys to make the cut?
Yeah, Brandon Valesky and I locking it in yesterday, and for good reason, too, because we're going to know July 4th evening if the celebration will continue into the wee hours and we get to play a few more of the hits here. But I know I asked Wes yesterday, I just blindly tailed, these guys in the outright winner market. And I hope that not only this one gets across the line, because that means they're in contention over the weekend, but that we get a couple of sweats from the triple digit guys on there, too.
Yes.
So, again, multiple ways to attack it, but I think your overall point of, okay, the Ryder Cup implications, not really there for a lot of guys. There are not a massive amount of big names or even a fair amount of big names at the top of the odds board. So it feels pretty wide open, and these are kind of fun ones to have at least some pizza money in on. It's there for the taking. Guys that are 30-1, could have the feel of maybe a 10 or 12 to one favorite in what would be otherwise larger names, more established players that are in those elevated events.
And it is. It's one of those chances, too, that I think they, to your point, Jensen, they feel like these players that are not household names on the PGA Tour, that it is their opportunity to make some hay and get, whether it's FedEx Cup points, get their status on tour, continue their status going forward. That's what a lot of these players are playing for and thinking about this week. So even though there might not be Ryder Cup conversations, maybe again around Ben Griffin, he is the shortest guy on the board. And I was thinking this of Ben, and maybe it even got into my subconscious as I was sleeping last night, Jensen. Like, do we have to really look at Ben Griffin now and say he's one of the 12 best American players in the world? Because I think it's a fair conversation to have. And oh, by the way, Keegan Bradley, who all the talk now is about Keegs and whether or not we're going to have a playing captain or not, these will be one of those type of spots, right? That if Keegan says, I'm not playing, I'm just going to be the Ryder Cup captain, that would open up, theoretically, a potential spot for a guy like Ben Griffin, or even, dare I say, a Denny McCarthy, if he could win in grand fashion this week, break through in the PGA Tour, and maybe get some consideration. I don't even know if it would be enough for Denny to get that captain's pick. But, Jensen, what I do think it could do is change that conversation for Keegan. I feel like the conversation is almost being had outside of Keegan, and he has said he's not going to give up the captaincy. So I wonder if that's set in stone for him, or if there's something that makes him rethink that position. We did see that Gary Woodland was announced yesterday to be one of the vice captains here with Keegan Bradley. So Gary's going to be part of that coaching staff. And what that means is you have another potential guy to pick up the mantle. If the team decides, Keegan, we need you to play. We don't need you to be a captain just yet.
Yeah. And I love that we already have the foresight or maybe the forethought on behalf of Captain America here to plan for that, because we talked a lot about recent form and where that plays into not only handicapping week in and week out, but also like we've had our eye on the British now probably for the last 3 weeks, just in those longer odds scenarios of guys that, okay, starting to turn things around, starting to put themselves into a spot. And I know Cameron Young was a guy that you lucked at and locked in, in a pretty high, I can't remember if you got triple digits on him or not, for the British, but in that exercise of guys that showed you they can not only contend yep. at the end, but then all of a sudden that game translates to Royal Portrush, and yes, you have an opportunity to at least be within striking distance, if not challenge, come Sunday at a major.
I can't believe we're going to be at the final major in 2 weeks. So you and I won't be getting a lot of sleep here in 2 weeks doing this show and watching the Open Championship over there at Royal Portrush. By the way, some tickets that I did have in pocket besides the Trophy House guys that we talked about. Yes, I took some flyers with you, Jensen. I got Patton Kizzire at 375-1 here at Circa. A little pizza money play there on some of these longer numbers of the Trophy House guys. I did get a number on Davis Thompson that I like to go back-to-back at 35-1. That was a little bit of a boost. He's a little bit shorter right now, down to 30-1. So I played the 35-1 on Davis as well. I have not played Ben Griffin. I will be curious to see. He's really confident when you listen to him right now that he really feels like he is the best player, and the odds board reflects it. He's the shortest shot at 16-1, and then you have to jump almost 10 another 10 bucks to get to Jason Day at 25-1 and Denny McCarthy at that same price point. So there does feel like the market is viewing Ben Griffin as an elite player, Jensen. Like that's the way that at least the marketplace is saying we have to reevaluate, or at least I have to reevaluate the way I view Ben Griffin in the betting market. So those plays are already in pocket for me as well. I did want to ask you very quickly here, because again, when you look down the board at some of these other names, are you just going Trophy House here? Or I did play Nico Echeverria as well, who I think at 70-1 is still, if you can find that number out there here, people, before he tees off, Echeverria is one of those guys on the short list with Denny McCarthy as some of the two of the best putters that are going to be there this week. And in our conversation with Wes, I want to have guys that can roll it. And I know right now guys like Echeverria and guys like Denny McCarthy can certainly do that.
Yep. I went just straight blind tail
straight
on the Victory House.
That's on it. The trophy. I love it. Absolutely love it. So, and remember, for those that don't know, they're saying there's no TV in the Trophy House. It's a very right. communal affair. They're playing games, or they're having dinners, and they're all having a good time. So I hope those good vibes continue. Again, last three winners have all come from this very house. So we gave you the seven players on the board. Jensen's got a sprinkle on each and every one of the seven. If you want to bet the ponies, we can help you with that here at VSiN as well. First Bet, they're going to let you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top picks across the U.S. and, dare I say, the entire world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use the promo code VSiN200. Claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head over to firstbet.com and get in on the ponies and do so today. All right, when we come back, we have a really big hour number two to get to. Kate Constable is standing by. She's going to give us her breakdown of the games. I think five games that she's already got on the board here that we're going to talk about here in the WNBA. Jensen, I know you have some plays ready to fire as well. So come on back. Hour number two straight ahead. It's VSiN by the Books.